about y'all, but I've been blessed this morning. That's just, when you talk about Christ, you sing about Christ, you exalt Christ. If you're a follower of Christ, that ought to just fan the flame. Amen? That ought to fire you up a little bit. Amen? All right. I'm just checking. Make sure. I think you're finally getting dried out over the last few days. Amen? Take your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. And this morning, I want to speak to you and share with you the thought, transformed to follow. Transformed to follow. Matthew chapter 4, begin reading verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. You may be seated. Let me ask you this question. Is there a person in your life that has influenced you in such a way that you just enjoy being in their presence? You like talking to them because they energize you, they encourage you. You always seem to learn something from them. I know most of you are thinking, yeah, it's you, Pastor. Yeah, okay. You ought not be lying in church, all right? I'm just going to tell you. Anyway. But think about it. You know, there are people in our lives, and even in everyday life, there are things and people that we follow. Maybe for you, maybe you like sports radio. There's a particular commentator that you enjoy, and you don't miss the show. You know, at 1 o'clock on this radio station, you're going to tune them in and listen to them. Maybe it's news radio. Maybe there's a particular person on news radio that you enjoy listening to because you feel like you're going to get fair and balanced news, and you're going to follow them, and at their time frame and their time slot each and every day, you're going to follow them and you're going to listen to them. Maybe for some of you, it's your favorite cooking show. I know you men are really into that. Amen. Okay, yeah, I'm just to make sure you're listening. You know, there's a movie that came out not too long ago, a few years ago, called Julie and Julia. And it's a story about a young lady who loved to cook and decided she's going to follow Julia Childs and take her cookbook and for an entire year cook a recipe each and every day, following those recipes till she gets to the end of the book, and she's going to blog about it. And she blogs about it, she makes these recipes, and it talks about her journey. And when you think about that story and you think about what was transpiring, she really was becoming a disciple of Julia Childs. She followed her recipes, followed what she taught about cooking, and she loved doing that. And so when we think about these things, you know, you want to know, there may be a favorite author. Maybe you don't like watching TV, listen to radio, but maybe it's a favorite book. Maybe there's someone you love reading, maybe it may be religion related, maybe just somebody you love that's maybe fiction, loves to write a good fiction book, and you followed them. Maybe it's an artist. Maybe you enjoy art. Maybe there's a particular artist that you like and you follow them. You want to know what they're doing. Maybe you enjoy doing art. Maybe you enjoy painting. And there's somebody like Bob Ross that you want. I put that in there for Brother Mike. He's a Bob Ross fan. Anyway, but maybe there's an artist or an author, or maybe it's an athlete. Maybe I know when my kids are growing up, especially Devin, when he was playing baseball, and pitching, there was a particular pitcher that he enjoyed watching. When he played quarterback in high school, he was a Tom Brady fan. Still is a Tom Brady fan. Pray for him. But nonetheless, there was an athlete that he followed and wanted to learn the techniques that he did. Now, think about it in this term. What if that person or that author or that athlete or that radio commentator or that person on the cooking show phones you up and said, "Hey, I want you to come with me and take a journey with me." If it's somebody that you admire and respect, and somebody that you love, chances are that you would not hesitate. You would cancel your, you clear your calendar, you'd do whatever it took to follow that person because they made such an impact. You enjoy watching them, reading them, listening to them. And if they wanted to take a journey with you and they invited you to come along, you would just clear your calendar. You know you would. And you would follow that person and take that journey. Can I tell you, there is someone who has called you and wants you to take a journey with him? Amen. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 20, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, let's just break that down for just a moment. My sheep. He is talking about people with the relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and there's never been a time in your life where you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you entered into a relationship with Christ, you're not part of his sheep. And if you're not part of the fold, you're not part of the sheep, you won't hear his voice. If you hear his voice, you won't know him. But I have good news. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants you in the fold. Amen. Probably one of the greatest evangelists, if not outside the Lord Jesus Christ and maybe a few of the apostles that ever lived, passed away this past week, Billy Graham. And the impact that he had on so many lives because he preached and proclaimed the good news of Jesus. That Jesus loves and Jesus forgives and Jesus can take your life and will mend your life and you will enjoy and know the love of God in your life by entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," and they, notice these words, "follow me." If you're here this morning and you do know Christ and you say you're a follower of Christ and you would say you're part of the fold and you would say that you are one of his children, let me ask you the question, are you following him? Because he says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me." If you're not hearing from the Lord, then I know there were some things in the news about Vice President Pence talking about hearing from the Lord, and I'm not going to get into all that, but nonetheless, let me tell you, when you read the scriptures and you seek the Lord, you will hear from the Lord. Now, it's not an audible voice, and it's not a voice out of heaven as in the days of old in the Old Testament where God speaks audibly, but God does speak through the Holy Spirit working in our lives and through his holy word. Amen. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So when we think about this in terms of being transformed, you heard Brack share this morning how at age 14, his life was transformed because he entered that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he had a caring Sunday school teacher that shared with him the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and it transformed him. And now he's part of the sheep. "And my sheep hear my voice and they follow me." So when we think about it in those terms, if you're not following God and you're not hearing from the Lord as far as his will for your life, what he desires from you, what he desires of you, then you might want to ask yourself the question, am I one of his? Am I one of his? If you struggle day to day and you have no interest whatsoever in following God, you have no interest in the things of God, you have no interest in what the Bible says, perhaps you're here today because somebody forced you to be here. Now, if you had to ask my kids when they lived in our house why they were here, they would probably tell you, "I'm here because somebody forced me to be here." Yeah, my kids would tell you, they had a drug problem. We drug them to church on Sunday morning. We drug them to church on Wednesday night. We drug them to church every chance we had the opportunity. And so let me just tell you that when it comes to following Christ, if you say you're his child and you should hear from him, you should know what his word says, you should allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart, and you should follow Christ. We're transformed to follow. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, and we see where the Lord Jesus Christ is calling his apostles, there are three things about following Christ that I think it's important for us to identify and for us to know this morning. First of all, following Christ should be without hesitation. Amen. Following Christ, mark it down, should be without hesitation. We can go back to John 10:27 again for the fourth time, where Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they know them, and they follow me." Our following Christ should be without hesitation. Notice what happened here in this passage. Jesus is walking along the shore of Galilee, and he sees Peter and Andrew, brothers. First of all, I'm amazed there's two brothers working together to do anything. Aren't you? It doesn't say they were arguing. It says they were casting their nets into the sea. That's really kind of an amazing thing in and of itself. But Jesus walking there, and he calls to them, and he says, "Follow me." And what does it say that they did? Look with me in verse number 20. They immediately left their nets and followed him. There was no hesitation in the hearts of Peter and Andrew. You read John chapter 1 and you read about Andrew. The Bible says that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And when John points out, there's the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world, and Andrew hears Jesus for the first time, what does Andrew do? The Bible says that Andrew went and got his brother and said, "Here, you need to come and hear a man that told us all things. You come see, come and hear." And then Jesus in John chapter 1 says that he needs to go through Galilee, and he wants to go through Galilee, and so he does. And now we find Matthew's account where he says Jesus is in Galilee walking, and he sees Andrew and Peter, and he says, "Follow me." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. Let me ask you, when we think about following Christ, for you, what is the hesitation? What is the hesitation? Let me just give you a couple of things that sometimes become the hesitation. Sometimes it's current circumstances. Current circumstances. Look at verse number 18. "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw the two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea." Now just in that, think about this for just a moment. These guys were doing what they did most every day, in that they were trying to make a living. They were fishermen, and they were taking their nets and they were casting it out into the sea. This apparently was from the shoreline. And if you know anything about, how many of you ever cast a net fishing? Okay, there's a few of you. I've actually done this a couple of times. Wasn't very successful at it, but nonetheless, matter of fact, Pat Philman is the one that first taught me. I'd seen that when we went to Israel, we saw the guys casting the net. Pat Philman was actually the one that showed me how to do it. And I learned it's better to get a net that has lighter weights than it is to get one with heavier weights. But nonetheless, I didn't kill anybody with it, because you wind that thing up, hold it a certain way, and you wind it up and spread that thing out to catch as many fish as you possibly can. In our case, we were catching bait, so we were trying to catch as many shad as we possibly could catch in the net. So it was a hard job, but nonetheless, this was their circumstances. They were there making a living, casting their nets. Now think about that. When you read about the lack of hesitation on their part, they weren't worried about their current circumstances. They weren't worried about how they were going to make a living. They weren't worried about whether or not God would provide. They weren't worried about their circumstances. It says they immediately followed him. I want to tell you, there have been times through the years I've talked to people, I've counseled with people, I've ministered to people that would say, "I would serve the Lord, but there's just some things going on, the circumstances aren't right." Let me just tell you something. When it comes to serving the Lord, I doubt the circumstances will ever be just right. You know why? Because it's a spiritual warfare. And we have an enemy. There is an adversary. And the Bible says in Peter, chapter 5, says this adversary walks around as a lion seeking whom he may devour. See, do you think for a moment that the enemy is going to be happy with you without hesitation, immediately? Or he's going to make all the circumstances are going to be perfect so you can serve the Lord? Not on your life. Let me just tell you. Traveling and singing with our family. I mean, I enjoyed singing, enjoyed doing what we were doing. And God called me in the ministry, and I want to tell you, it wasn't a pleasant scene in the Wills family when Don Wills decided he was going to get off the road and go work in church work. Not that we weren't doing church work, mind you, but God had called me to be a minister. God had called me to preach. And so, the circumstances weren't ever right to make that transition and to make that change. And so don't ever think that when it comes, if you're hesitant about serving the Lord and following Him because the circumstances right now are just not right. Listen to me. Circumstances probably won't ever get just right when it comes to our life and how we want to A, B, C, and D, and E. No, the enemy doesn't want it to be perfect. He doesn't want you to follow the Lord. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't. It doesn't mean that we should hesitate, because we have a firm example here that when you read Christ's words and when Christ teaches them and Christ calls these men, what did they do? They left their circumstances. They didn't worry about it. They immediately followed the Lord. Is come with me, I'm going to take you on a journey. So oftentimes the hesitation is our current circumstances. Oftentimes it's our current responsibilities. Look in verse 21. Notice what it says. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their net. Okay, now this is related to their current circumstances, but it also is related to their responsibilities. You know, if your net's broken and you're a fisherman, not a good thing. So there's a responsibility that comes in with, you got to mend the net, you got to be sure that you've taken care of your responsibility if you're going to be successful at what you're doing. But not only that, they weren't just the two brothers by themselves mending their nets. Who were they with? They were with their father. Now tell me that's an easy, hey Dad, we're leaving you. Take care of those nets. We're following Jesus. Now there are some that would say, and there's some that think that Salome, that we read later on about James and John, perhaps was a sister of Mary, Jesus' earthly mom. And so when we think about that, perhaps that may have been the reason why in this passage it seems like there was an easier transition, because perhaps James and John are cousins of Jesus. That's up for speculation. You can do some research and decide on your own what to think about that. But regardless, there were some responsibilities that they had and they were tending to. And yet Jesus called them in the midst of what they were doing and taking care of the responsibilities. He says, follow me. Follow me. And what does it say they did? They immediately left their nets. They left the boat and their father, it says, and followed him. You see, sometimes the responsibility of families or to family, sometimes, and as I share with you, even in my case, love my mom and dad, love what we did, love the heritage of singing, love those things, but God had called me to a purpose and God had other plans for my life. And it wasn't an easy thing. We still get to, I still get to sing with them some, sing with the inspiration, get to do some of that. It's enjoyable, and we get to really broaden the ministry a little bit because of being able to do that. But the primary thing is God had called me, and I had to leave the boat and my father. I mean, it was hard for them to find a good bass singer like me. I mean, it wasn't an easy circumstance. The responsibilities that you felt and the things that, you know, you were having, in my case, the things that Dad depended on me to do, it was a very hard matter for me to have to go to them and say, I've got to make a change. This is what God wants me to do. It was a tough day. And sometimes people, maybe you've even faced the thing. Maybe you're in this right now. Maybe you know God's calling you to do more in a ministry-related thing. Maybe God's calling you into ministry. Maybe God's just wanting you to really, truly follow Him. And you don't feel like you can do on your present responsibilities and where you are. Listen to me. You have to follow Him without hesitation. You can't worry about the responsibilities when it comes to following Christ. We take care of our responsibilities best we can, but our priority is, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Following Christ should be without hesitation. Following Christ should be without limitation. Without limitation. Look at verse 22. Notice what it says. And immediately they left the boat and their father. Immediately they left the boat and their father. You see, it would have been real easy, you would think, for him to say, you know, Lord, we'd love to, but, you know, hey, Dad's here by himself. We're trying to mend these nets. As soon as we get this done, you know, we're really limited on time because we have things that we've got to get done to get Dad on the way, and then we'll come. No, they didn't put any limits on them following God and following Christ. And when it comes to following Him, we have to follow Him without limitation. Let me tell you what these limitations are. First of all, sometimes they're self-imposed limitations. And the limitations may look like this: the limitation of human reasoning. The limitation of human reasoning. You see, I look around this auditorium, there's some pretty smart people in this auditorium. I'm not going to tell you which ones I think they are, but there's some pretty smart people. Because I may leave some of you out and you may be offended by that. So I'm not going to do that. And when we think about it in our own, we think about our lives, we all probably have some type of perspective that we're pretty good at reasoning and making pretty good decisions. But let me tell you, when our reasoning thwarts or keeps us from following Christ, because we have thus reasoned with ourselves that we can't because of this, we can't because of that, we can't because of the other. We can't. When we start trying to reason with ourselves of why we cannot follow Christ, listen to me. Our following Christ has to be without hesitation, has to be without limitation. And when we come to our human reasoning, we begin limiting what God can do in and through our lives and desires to do through our lives and in our lives. What do you think Solomon wrote? The words and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Why do you think God has in His Word, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding? In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path, or He will make your path straight. Why do you think God has it? Because He knows us. He made us. He created us. And we, when it comes to following Christ, oftentimes we trust in our own knowledge, in our own reasoning, and it limits us in following Christ. It could look like this. I'm not smart enough to teach a class. I don't know enough. Oh, you know, if these people find out how I used to be, and if these people found out that I'm trying to witness to, and I'm trying to minister to, and I'm following Christ, and they find out who I really am, or who I really was, I should say, they won't listen to me. They'll make fun of me. Human reasoning. You've just limited what God can do in and through your life. God can take your life. God can take the ruins of your life as He's forgiven you of your sin and made you a new creation. And He can use you to impact the world for Jesus Christ. And our following Christ should be without limitation. You read Luke chapter 9, verse 57 through 62, and you see some examples of this human limitation. What about in Luke chapter 18 and verse 22 with the rich young ruler? What did the Lord tell him? He said, because this guy was thinking in his mind. He said, well, you know, I've got things I want to do, but I want to follow Christ. What I need to do? He starts to reach, and the Lord knew exactly where to go. And he said, tell you what, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then he says, and follow me. We should follow Christ without limitation. Limitation through our human reasoning. Limitation of human ability. You see, I've heard people say, I would serve the Lord, but I can't do that. I'm limited on what I'm able to do. Listen to me. The Bible says that he that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is a song years ago that I believe it was Sandy Patty that came out with it, and we sang it with the kids. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Huh? It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun, the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, for he's still working on me. You don't have to worry about your natural ability. All you need to worry about is following Christ. Amen. And if you will follow Christ and you'll make that the priority in your life, he will use you. And you can serve him without limitations. Our limitations that we put on Christ are self-inflicted limitations because he is not limited in what he can do. What did Mary say when the angel told her she was going to give birth? She said, how can this be since I know not a man? And there's a dialogue that goes on, and then this statement is made: with God, nothing is impossible. Let me tell you, if he can take a young woman that knew not a man, and she can conceive of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, and be born on this earth, by all means, he can make a Sunday school teacher out of you. By all means, he can make a witness out of you. By all means, he can make his servant, you, to follow him, and he can use you in tremendous ways. We're transformed to follow. Following Christ should be without hesitation. Following Christ should be without limitation. Lastly, following Christ should be about presentation. Notice what he said in verse 19. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I challenge you to break it down in those three phrases. Follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Follow me is the priority. Our passage, our theme this year, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. When you read chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There has to be a presentation of ourselves to the Lord. present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, Jesus speaking, and he said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in darkness. Darkness represents sin, evil, being away from God. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Because he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We present ourselves to the Lord, a living sacrifice. We talked about this and not presenting ourselves, we're the temple of the Lord, and not presenting our instruments as instruments to sin, but instruments of righteousness. We present ourselves to the Lord, and last we present ourselves for the Lord. Amen. He says, follow me. Number one, present ourselves to the Lord. And then he says, I will make you. We present ourselves for the Lord, fishers of men. Fishers of men. Let me tell you what I know about fishing. If you don't go to the lake or the pond or the river or the creek, if you don't go fishing, you won't catch any fish. The second thing I know about fishing, every time you go fishing, you don't catch fish. Now, some of you who are experts say, well, I do. I mean, well, God bless you. I'm a little envious, and I'll have to repent of that. But not every time you go, you don't necessarily catch. But the third thing I know is this. If you don't go and you don't cast something in the water, you will never catch fish. Some of you right now are thinking of reasons why you can't be a fisher of men. Is that hesitation? Is that limitation? Let me tell you, it needs to be presentation. Jesus said, if you'll follow me, if we will seek him, if we will trust him, if we'll read his word, live his word, follow him, he will make us. Remember the scripture, Philippians? He that's begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. He will work on us. He will make us to become fishers of men. What was he telling Peter and Andrew? He said, I want you to come and I want you to fish for something totally different. I want you to fish for something that has eternal value. I want you to be heralds of the good news of why the Heavenly Father has sent me. He says, I will make you fishers of men. Here's the other thing I know about fishing. There are people out there that know how to fish a lot better than I know how to fish. But one thing I've learned, when I get somebody that knows how to fish, I can get in their boat and I can go to their honey hole, watch them throw some chum out, and I can be involved in catching 70, 80, 100 catfish. Right, Brother Jack? I know that if I get with somebody, I can go and I can learn. And the next time, I can go out, I can get the same lures, I can get the same rod and reels, and I go to the same place, and all of a sudden I start casting the reel out. Next thing you know, I'm catching fish. And nobody's there to help me. And you know what I can do? I can take my son, and I can take him to the lake, and I can show him how to fish. And you know what he does? He takes his bride out to fish, and she outfishes him. He'd take his sons out to the lake, and he teaches them to fish. I talked to different members of church, Brother Kobe, Scott, and Justin, and talked to other men who take their fish. Brother Jack, going fishing with his brother, going fishing with his grandson. That's the way it works. We have to go fishing. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. We have the greatest story to tell. And Jesus says, I loved you. I died on the cross for you. I'll redeem you. I'll forgive you of your sin. I love you. When no one else will love you, Jesus loves you. When no one else understands what you're going through, Jesus understands. We have the best message to tell. And Jesus says, follow me. I want to go on a journey with you. And I want to make you fishers of men so that others can go on the journey. We're transformed to follow. My sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me with heads bowed and eyes closed.